I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, we can say amen and go home. To me, that song is a very important message. And before I go on, the worship leader usually does this, but I don't think Betty is in a position to do so. I want to thank Betty and the choir for singing. It always enhances a worship service. I'd like to thank Linda for doing the children's story, Erica for playing, and where's Tracy for playing for us. The first song the choir sang was about God being the God of creation. He created us all differently. It's going to be a glorious day for some people. It's going to be hot. For me, heat is a challenge. I'm a wimp. But for some, most people will enjoy it. And we ask God's blessing on this day. So in accordance with our summer program, I chose a favorite hymn of mine for the theme of our meditation, When We Walk with the Lord. The origin was already explained by Linda, which was also part of my message. So physical walking is considered to be the best exercise to keep us physically fit. It's good for the heart, reduces stress, increases energy, lifts moods, among other things. On any given day or any time of day, you can see a lot of people walking, strolling, and walking briskly along the path parallel to the Gateway Road, sometimes in groups, sometimes solo. Walking in groups, you can see that they are in discussion, sometimes a very active discussion. And it's even more interesting when you walk with somebody and discuss things when you're on the same page, as the current expression goes. Such walks form better relationships. That is the physical aspect of walking. For our spiritual well-being, it is important that we walk with God, being on the same page with Him, which means we will then see people and circumstances from His perspective. Just as we walk and listen to our human companions, so we can communicate with God. We can use the solo walking time for praying. When we walk with God, we learn to listen to Him and hear His voice. Then what others say doesn't matter. What does matter is that we want to listen to hear God's voice. And an illustration about listening. It's the wisdom out of the mouth of babes. A friend told us just the other day that one of his grandchildren, he's 4 years old, when his parents or grandparents tell him something that he doesn't like, he will plug his ears and say, I can't hear you, I don't have to listen to you. The other example is when we were visiting our grandchildren a few years ago in England. Our youngest granddaughter, then 3 years old, Lucy, we were playing dollies. And it was amazing how motherly she was with her dolls. So I told her, boy, you are a good mommy to your dolls. And I said, you know, just like you have a good mommy. And Lucy, being a bit of the obstinate persuasion, I added, you know, it would be a good thing if you would listen to her. She stood up, put her hands on her hips, and then in her English accent said, but Oma, when I am naughty, I just can't listen to mommy. What does the Bible say about listening? When Lucy said that, the first thought that struck me, is that how we as Christians relate to God, listen to God? When we are naughty, we can't hear Him. What does the Bible say about listening? In Matthew 17:5, the Father told Peter, James, and John to listen to His Son. Christ began the parable of the sower by saying, listen. Jesus wanted everyone to pay attention and apply His teaching to their lives. To the crowd, God said, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Ultimately, we must listen to hear what God says, trust Him, respond in obedience, and leave the results with Him. What then is involved in walking with God? It's faith, believing God exists, that Christ died for us, and we have begun a new life in Christ. As we walk in truth, obeying Him, our relationship with Him will grow more intimate. The Holy Spirit will provide us with peace, confidence, and joy. He will help us know how to live in a way that pleases God and making an impact in the lives of hurting people. What could be some of the naughty obstacles that prevent us from listening to God? It begins with our thoughts. Critical, judgmental thoughts, rebellious thoughts, arrogant thoughts, or emotional baggage will all hinder us from hearing God. After all, what we think determines where we end up in life, so it's important that we learn to master our minds. The Bible is full of truth about the importance of controlling our minds. Then, of course, the enemy of our souls, Satan, will do his very best to lead us astray. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 to 3, the Apostle Paul cautions us of the spiritual warfare that confronts us. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I have heard of a professor at CMU that conducts workshops on spiritual warfare. And I, for one, would think it would be a good idea to have a workshop like that in our church. I don't know about you, but I can use all the help I can get. If we don't learn to hear God's voice, we will probably listen to someone else, TV shows, advice of others, news articles. Eventually, if we don't listen to God, our unwise decisions will prove disastrous to ourselves and those around us. We need to listen to God and trust Him. Trusting in God means we place our present and future circumstances in His hand. Believing in His ability to orchestrate people and events to achieve His will. Such wholehearted trust brings peace of mind and contentment. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him also for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him, we read in Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. Then in Psalms 37, verse 5, you read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." We need to trust God to give us understanding, wisdom. Trusting God is an active endeavor that requires faith, humility, and courage. Courage, especially when there is pressure to act. It's not simply waiting for things to happen, as illustrated in the following story. Bill was sitting in his house during a torrential downpour. As the floodwaters reached the bottom of his front door, some friends came along in a rowboat and called to him to climb in. But Bill said, "No, I am trusting the Lord. I'll be okay. I'm staying here." The rain kept coming and the floodwaters kept rising until Bill was on the second floor, and then he was soon sitting on the roof. Along came a helicopter. The pilot dropped down a rope later and called a rope ladder, and called to Bill to climb aboard. But Bill said, "No, I am trusting in the Lord. I'll be okay. I'm staying here." The waters kept rising and Bill drowned. Arriving in heaven, Bill said to the Lord, "I just don't understand it. I trusted in you, and I still ended up drowning." And the Lord replied, "Well, Bill, I don't understand it either. First I sent you a boat, and then I sent you a helicopter, and you didn't take either one." On a more serious note, trusting God when everything goes smoothly in our lives is not a problem. However, when we go through the dark valleys of despair, it is not so easy to believe that God has our best interest at heart. But God's word assures us that we can trust when things go unexpectedly wrong, even when things seem hopeless, as we read in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." We need to accept the truth that God knows what's best for us. But how do we make that leap from knowing to doing? The secret lies within us, the Holy Spirit. He will not only convict us of the rightness of trusting in the Lord, He will help us do it. We can't do it on our own. Because the Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves, He'll give us exactly what we need to make this change. Someone who has gone through cancer or is going through the treatments, the death of loved ones, broken relationships, depression, or job layoffs, and has learned to trust God will probably tell us that trusting in the Lord is a lifelong challenge. We never finally arrive. The good news is that the more often we see God's loving hand working in our life, the easier this trusting becomes. As we sang in the song, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. We are called to listen, trust, and obey. Mother Superior, the religious leader in the Sound of Music, asked her young nun, Maria van Trapp, what is the most important lesson you have learned here? Maria answered, to find the will of God and to do it. What does God desire from us? We find it in verse 23 of our scripture text. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Is there anyone who does not want his life to go well? Seems like a very clear, simple instruction. Yet, following instructions is not always our strong point. The humanity in us does not like to be told what to do. We want to be independent thinkers and doers. In other words, not prone to obeying God's instructions. Obey my voice, that it may be well with you. God will bless us if we obey him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. As we obey and he blesses us, he will use us in his service. Christ served others in love and in his actions had tremendous impact on the world. How was he so effective? Scripture tells us that he did not speak or act in his own initiative, but rather depended upon his Father's abiding wisdom to do his work. And we are to follow his example. Oswald Chambers writes in the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, our Lord's primary obedience was to the will of his Father, not to the needs of the people. The saving of people was the natural outcome of his obedience to the Father. As his disciples, we also need to listen and hear where God wants us to serve him, rather than relying on his own discretion. From my perspective, as Christians, we want to serve God. As to how, when, and where, we leave up to him. But in obeying his voice, we might be at risk of being misunderstood by others, be subject to criticism. It is ever more important to have God's approval than that of people. I'd just like to share a personal experience of mine. When many years ago, I think this is about 18 years now, when Pastor Albert asked me to preach, I was speechless. Not very often that I'm speechless, but I was. My first reaction was like Jeremiah's, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I did ever ask Albert, Pastor Albert, to give me some time to pray about it, and pray I did. To the point where I had the inner conviction, yes, that is what God was calling me to do, to serve him in that capacity. With fear and trembling, I followed that conviction. Some years later, the late Mrs. Victor Schroeder, the wife of our former leading minister, called me and asked in her brusque voice, she said, Kathy, you come to the Tutsu Predigen. Well, I shook in my boots. I expected severe criticism. I told her what had happened, what had transpired. She commended me and wished me God's continued blessing in this ministry. The power of a blessing. That blessing gave me the courage, the assurance to continue serving God in that way. Others probably have similar experiences in their decision-making. The following is an excerpt from Dr. Charles Stanley's Life Principle Notes. Obedience is a major characteristic of a person who is mighty in spirit and honors the Lord. Generally speaking, obedience characterized the faith of Abraham from his first encounter with God until his death. We grow in obedience by having faith in the sovereignty of God. We grow in obedience by waiting for God's timing. As per Galatians 4, verse 4, we wait for the fullness of time, and he is always on time. We grow in obedience by waiting for... Oh, I'd say that. We continue to grow in obedience by refusing to subject God's plan to common sense or the reason of society. Our sensitivity to God's will increases as we obey him. So far, God's, Dr. Stanley's words. How obedient are we in our Christian walk? Is it just like a Sunday drill? We go to church, sing the songs, bow for prayer, endure the sermon, then do whatever we feel like doing the rest of the week. God wants us to obey him in everything, every day, and he does make this promise when we walk in all his ways that he has commanded us, he will bless us. Ultimately, we need to learn to hear what God says, respect his command, respond in obedience, and leave the results to him. The last verse in our scripture passage, verse 24, reads as follows. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backwards and not forwards. In other words, they became backsliders. There is no standing still in our faith journey. We either grow, stagnate, or regress or backslide. Backsliding begins in the heart, with our thoughts, although if it is not confessed and dealt with, will be noticeable in our lives in a very short time. In Proverbs 14:14, we read, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. In other words, will be governed by his own intellect. Then in verse 22, the call to repentance, return to backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. It may be that we have drifted somewhat but have never noticed it, like Samson, who wist not that the Lord was departed from him in Judges 16:20. We need to search our hearts, and we need to watch and pray lest sin creep up on us. The Bible lists about a dozen saints who backslid. The best known to us is King David. Most of us probably don't think of the man after God's own heart could have backslidden, but there was a time in his life when he was so discouraged that during a particular 16-month period of his life prior to his becoming the king of Israel, he was so discouraged with the way things were going in his life that it appears he abandoned the Lord and the Lord's people and went and lived with the enemy. 1 Samuel 27:30, if you want to read up on it. Since the warning about backsliding or falling away are given in the Bible to all God's people, as we look into the portion of Scripture, we could make the application of it as a personal possible. Those things about David's turning away from God might be common to us at times. Annexed in my Bible, study Bible, are listed several ways to detect backsliding: pride, prayerless life, serving the Lord in energy of the flesh, follow the Lord, but not too close. The cure listed: confess and repent, as we read in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. God, give us the courage to trust and obey him. May he bless his word as we reflect on the scripture of today's passage. Amen.